From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. We all have one, that friend who refuses to take part in social media, only has a landline, shuns digital cameras, the MP3, and just about anything else with a computer chip. Those hardy souls tend to inspire a lot of eye-rolling and a measure of respect. For the rest of us, choosing the life of a Luddite hardly seems an option. The history of the term Luddite and the man for which it was coined is a surprisingly violent one, tracing back to the late 18th century. Morgan Mees is a freelance writer and editor at Three Quarks Daily. Recently, he wrote about the original Luddite, Ned Ludd, for the Smart Set, and joins us now with more. Morgan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about Ned Ludd. Who was he?
Well, Ned Ludd is maybe a mythological figure even, but if he existed, he was a young guy in England in the north in the late 18th century. And supposedly one day he may have been of questionable mental stability, and he got himself into a rage and smashed up a couple of stocking frames. And stocking frames were kind of early weaving machines, or knitting machines. And he was such a notable character, such a memorable guy. And this sudden act of smashing up these frames kind of stuck in the lore of the area. And then a couple of decades later, as the workers who were more and more being pulled into we're in the phase of the early industrial revolution mm-hmm. here. As workers were more and more coming into factories, and people who were craftsmen were now using these machines and big kind of early factories and things like that. As things would go wrong with the machines or something would break, there was this joke that came around of like, oh, Ned Ludd must have been here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more of a, it seems like it was more of a kind of a playful thing. Like, it wasn't my fault. It was Ned Ludd's fault. But then as that period of early industrial revolution history went on, and people actually did start to get more upset about things that were happening, about the upheavals of the early industrial revolution, then people started to get together and actually actively smash these machines up.
Under the name of Luddites?
And then they said, We're doing this because we're followers of King Ludd. And he became kind of the rallying cry, like a Robin Hood type figure.
Mm-hmm.
Ned Ludd will fix this stuff up. We're following Ned Ludd. And they start writing letters sometimes to local politicians and factory owners and employers, basically threatening them and saying, King Ludd will come to get you. You know, King Ludd is watching you, all these sorts of things. And in fact, people were killed. It became violent. It became a real insurrection or rebellion of some kind.
In your article, in fact, you print a letter written by a Luddite. Can you read that for us, or that excerpt?
Yeah. So this was written by a self-proclaimed follower of King Ludd. It having been presented to me, and this was written as a threat to someone who owned one of these small early factories.
Mm-hmm.
It having been presented to me that you were one of those damned miscreants who delight, spelled incorrectly, in distressing and bringing to poverty those poor, unhappy, and much injured men called stocking makers. Now be it known unto you that I have this day issued orders for your being shot through the body with a leaden ball.
So
but, you know, and they are amusing. On the other hand, some people were shot actually through the body with a leaden ball, so it was serious business at the same time.
Luddite is a term that, you know, often people use to describe someone who's a reactionary or just sort of stuck. But I guess there are some in organized labor or anyway who are kind of trying to take on this term as, I don't know, the beginnings, the stirring seeds of organized laborers. How much is there to that?
Well, Eric Hobsbawm, who is a famous English historian and specifically interested in the labor movement, wrote a fairly influential essay now many years ago, but where he came up with the very memorable phrase, collective bargaining by riot, by which he meant that these Luddites were not just kind of unhinged opponents of technology of all kinds, but that they actually realized that one of the reasons these stocking frames were being put into play was to decrease wages. This was a wage struggle, and the Luddites understood this and were, you know, nobody at that time, there were no, this is before the period of all the labor laws and minimum wage things and all these sorts of, you know, all of those laws were a result of the later history of these struggles. And so one of the things Hobsbawm wanted to point out is that we really ought to look at the Luddites as a big part of that history, as people who were kind of really trying to figure out how to organize as laborers who otherwise didn't have a lot of bargaining power, but that this idea that they could go out and smash the actual machines was something, obviously, that they could do right away, and that this did lead even a little bit later to some laws which made it a little bit harder for them to be put out of work, for the local craftsmen to be put out of work.
Morgan Mies is with us. He's a freelance writer and editor at Three Quarks Daily, and he recently wrote about Ned Ludd and the movement named for him for the Smart Set. Well, they may not have been organized, but they seem to have a kind of a strange sense of humor. You write about a kind of carnival aspect of their protest. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, one of my favorite images of the Luddites described in some of the documents of the time is that they would put on women's dresses and run around the countryside and kind of descend on one of these factories and smash up all the stocking frames, which, you know, does create quite an image when you think of it.
Yeah, the war against hosiery, I guess, is coming.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe that was part of it. But, you know, I think part of that was this kind of carnival. You know, back from even earlier medieval times, you have the idea of a carnival when people take on different roles and act the fool, and the knavery and all these things is kind of upsetting the normal conventions, trying to turn the world on its head. And I think that, I mean, one of the things I was interested in is that though all the things Eric Hobsbawm brings up about the background of the early labor struggles and these sorts of things, there is that kind of crazier, we're going to turn it all around, we're going to fight against the trajectory of history, we are these mythological figures, we're following this King Ludd who doesn't even really exist, but he's this bigger than life mythological character who can stop the course of history as it's now developing. And you know, that side of the Luddites I found very compelling too.
Well, and they endure on some level. The myth endures. We have just a minute left, but I'm wondering why you think that is. You know, this 19th century or early industrial era movement stays in our mind as something maybe to aspire to, maybe to laugh at.
Well, I think they did raise this question of whether progress is really progress. You know, every time a new technology comes, we think, oh, this is the thing that's really going to make us free. This is the thing that's really going to make life better for everyone. And the Luddites, at least one aspect of the Luddites, especially in that crazy carnival, let's stop history way, I think we're saying maybe not. Maybe the ways of life that we're losing here, maybe these kind of small craftsman communities we had at the time, we don't want to over-romanticize them. But on the other hand, I think they were saying this isn't necessarily progress. The technology doesn't always lead to the betterment of our lot. And in fact, in their day-to-day lives, a lot of them were being thrown into destitution and losing a lot of things. Again, these are, I don't know, big questions that are hard to... I don't know if you can ever say something like, is technology a good or a bad thing overall? But the Luddites were at least forcing us to see that progress is not always progress.
And asking the question. Morgan Mies, I have to stop you there, but I thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Pleasure.
Morgan Mies' work has appeared in Harper's The Believer and The Smart Set, where we found his recent article about the Luddites called Rage Against the Machine. There's a link to read it yourself at wordofmouthradio.org. And coming up, Embracing the Drone. Unmanned aircraft takes flight over upstate New York as practice for expanded use in the U.S. We'll hear that story when Word of Mouth continues.